Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, hello?
Hello? This is Bill Garbarino.
Oh, Bill, Richard Shaw here.
I'm sorry, this is who?
Richard Shaw.
This is Bill Garbarino.
Yeah, Richard Shaw. Sound like Lynn's on.
Lynn's on. They didn't give me a host number, so I didn't know how to do this quite.
Linda should be on shortly.
All right.
I think she got a note from you, Bill, with the telephone number.
Right, and I sent it back to her.
And unfortunately, the exchange number that you put in your message, probably because it was a quick response, was wrong. So I sent her
Yes, it
the
was.
corrected number.
So did
So she should be on shortly.
Is there anybody else on?
Apparently not.
Evidently not. Well, at least we'll have a corner.
We few, we precious few, we band of brothers, right?
Well, let's not carry this too far. Well, come on, Linda, we need you for a quorum. There she is.
Hi, this is Linda.
Linda, I sent you the wrong number. I'm sorry.
I got it. I got it corrected, and now I'm plugged in.
All right. Do we expect anybody else? I don't think so.
Len should be calling in as well. Okay.
Len, John.
John, are you there? All right. I would assume we have... let's go ahead and start the meeting. I think this is the time set for the meeting of the Governance Committee. We should reflect that I think that Lynn Marcus is on the line, Richard Shaw is on the line, Linda Whitaker is on the line, Bill Garbarino is on the line, and is John there? Hello? All right, so we have four. We have a quorum. Okay, I don't know how, this is something that's new to me. I don't know how we discuss and approve the minutes since they're from the last meeting they're recorded. I went back and looked at the open meeting law, 7.8.1, and it says we can substitute a recording for the minutes. But I don't know how we approve them since everything is on the recording. I don't know that we need to. What do you think?
I concur with that. It's all out there. It's unedited and open for viewing. So, I don't even know what means we have of editing that recording. So I think it needs to stand as is.
That would be, I think, the way to go about it, so that we don't get dinged by our friends, the auditors, and that is. When we publish the minutes of this particular session, we should probably have something in the minutes indicating that we as a governance committee by vote agreed that the recorded minutes will stand in lieu of written minutes.
Yeah, good idea.
All right, so then we can just say that the recorded minutes that are on the website of the Arizona Historic Society shall be the official minutes of the past meeting, the July 19th meeting. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, is anybody else on the phone from the public? This is posted and the phone numbers were posted. And I don't think anybody's at the site, so they would let us know. Okay, Richard, or Lynn, let's go first with you. Do you have anything new about the audit?
No, and the reason for that is, coincidentally, Linda and I had planned a conference call for this afternoon with regard to updating ourselves and getting with Dr. Burns on status, and we intend to do so as soon as this call is completed. Linda and I will have a conference call, and what we've decided is we will take any decisions or directions that occurred in this meeting, carry them forward into our conference call and into our plans for tracking the progress with the sunset audit. Our plan is to have an update meeting with Dr. Burns fairly soon, obviously before the November board meeting, and we will, as we usually do, update the summary document with regard to audit status and make sure that it gets out to everybody in advance of the board meeting.
Okay, of the November 17th board meeting.
Correct.
All right. That sounds good.
At this point, we anticipate not a great deal of change. I think a lot is going to depend on what Dr. Burns presents to the board in January with regard to status on several items. I think for us, the principal consideration will be what you all decide with regard to policy in this meeting, because that will have some impact on the way that we handle things going forward between ourselves and Dr. Burns.
And what aspect of policy that concerns you the most? Hello?
Yeah. I don't know that we want to get involved into I think I've documented my concerns to you. There aren't many. Most of, I think, my observations were wordsmithing. I did have a couple of concerns about the items that were questionable, but I think for Linda and for me, what we're anticipating is what you decide and what we decide as a committee in this meeting may change who is responsible and how we communicate certain of the open items. Because of the way that this policy is crafted, there may be some outstanding findings with regard to the audit that will move from us, meaning the board, to Dr. Burns's bucket, if you will, to handle in detail and report back to the board. And we can't say what that will be or how extensive or how minor it will be until we work our way through this meeting.
Okay, so we're just more or less kind of tabling it until we get further information. Is that correct?
Now, let me give you a concrete example. A concrete example would be the chapter boards. We have been operating on the assumption that the chapter board issue belongs to the AHS Board of Directors. But the way I read this policy, and please bear in mind that I've not had a chance to discuss this with Linda nor she with me, but as I read this policy, it seems to me that the responsibility for handling the chapter boards now rolls directly to the executive director of AHS. Now, that assumption on my part may or may not be correct, and so whatever comes out of this meeting will inform Linda and inform me as to how we should proceed.
Okay.
Well, I don't see where you're, Lynn. Where do you, what language do you draw upon to reach that conclusion?
Well, that's one of the reasons for this meeting.
okay.
Because it's a Carino call.
That's very clear in the statute that the AHS board creates or uncreates or whatever the chapter boards. Now, as far as, and I raised a similar question in terms of my comments that when you say you have to do these things, anything else you do is your business. I kind of said, well, that needs a little more thought. But in any event, obviously the chapters, in terms of the executive director, historically and going forward, no doubt, all of the personnel, everything, flows into the The chapter boards were never in a position to tell the local chapter board, okay, here's the plan, this is what we're going to do. They didn't have a governing authority to do that, and my knowledge still don't. So then who does? Well, then the executive director says, we're going to have a program, we're going to do this, and so this is with all, you know, with any, all, everything is chapter in the sense, but, so he either runs all the people or he doesn't, but I think that's not an issue. But in terms of what authority does a chapter have, I mean, he has no capacity to make that decision. Well, he politically delegated it, but we still have the responsibility as Bill Fain goes, so. So anyway, that's just my input. But it's always been an issue.
Let's do this. Let's move on in to lead the issue of the audit shit, and let's get into the meat of this meeting. And let's start out, and let's talk about Leonard's, and I have all of your objections, and I think they're all very good. Not objections, but all of your comments. I think they're really good.
Yeah.
Let's start out with that one on the chapter rules. And I've read what you said here, and I don't think I really understand where you're coming from. But, and I agree with the things, the comments that Richard has made at this point. Well, I don't understand the big impact of that.
Well, if we take my comments, they were pretty short. And that is, I saw that policy title as seeming to make it clear that for purposes of the sunset audit, the chapter boards will be retained unless or until the AHS state board determines otherwise.
I think we determined that at a board meeting, didn't we?
Yeah, I think we did too, but I want to make sure that there's nothing inherent in this statement of policy that would countermand that. I don't think there is. I think this document reinforces that, but my question is, that's simply what I think. Does everybody else agree that this buttresses the position of the AHS board that the chapter boards are going to be retained unless or until somebody decides otherwise?
Well, yeah, that's not only the policy, that's the law. It says the AHS board may create chapters, doesn't say will, has to, or has to keep them.
Yeah. And if it's that simple, that's fine, because then what Linda and I can do is we can add this document to the response to the sunset audit in the character of saying not only was this a conscious decision by the board, not only is the board on record in its minutes supporting the existence of chapters, however, but in addition, in the development of a policy document for the board, here is what the board has said with respect to the chapters.
Okay. Now, on the language of this, though, that's found out in my memo, it says the state statute made them designated historical organizations, which they didn't. So we ought to at least be accurate in terms of, how we recite. It might as well be better say nothing than say it wrong. So historical organizations is the 15 county stuff that's not been done and won't be done until we want to get it changed. So let's say that's not true. So the whole chapter role thing is to do with the author here is, but there's a whole lot, someone's like, there's a whole lot more to be said or a whole lot less to be said. I don't know which, like authority and responsibility, when you say it has two mandatory, they're not mandatory, that's what the chapters want. I mean, that's what their responsibility is, to do those two things mentioned, the 1107 and appoint a member. And then anything else they do that's not illegal is fine. Well, that doesn't work. So that's as a matter of policy. You can't leave that language in there, I wouldn't think.
Okay. This is coming up. I'm going to tell you at the very end of this meeting what I'm going to ask you to do, Richard and Lynn. And Linda, if you wanted to, but I thought I would go to John Lacey because he has a historical background, is ask that you form a work group to incorporate what we say here today. And so be sure to take that down, take these things down so you'll know where you're going to go with it. I agree with what Richard has said relative to the chapter roles. Do you have any input on that, Linda?
No, but I can tell you that the Sunset people are looking for some kind of specificity and accountability, and it sounds like this document gets us closer to it. So
that's
my observation.
Well, I didn't hear what you said, Mom. You said it.
I said
like
that, that this document, the proposed language, gets us closer to a level of specificity and accountability that the Sunset reviewers are looking for.
Well, I hope they're not looking for that, because what it says is you have to do these two things, and you can do anything else that's not illegal. That is the opposite of specificity. That's just like whatever. So it really, now they're not overly bright people, and they might not pick that up, but that isn't, you're authorized to do one thing and not, you don't say, but not 25%, that's just awkward, that's all.
Well, I think the first part of the audit referred to what is the chapter role. I think the board answered that, but I think that they are looking for something about the chapter boards, and I think Linda is right that this will kind of firm it up that, yes, there are chapter boards, and this is their responsibility.
Well, no, I think that they have to say they're encouraged membership, encouraged fundraising, community outreach, advice to programs. There's a long list of things that are contemplated and hopefully will be done. So when you say anything else that's not illegal is fine, A, that's not specific, but B, it's overly, they can say, well, we're going to close the museum now for every day, but Tuesday, and that's within our scope of, and the earlier point Len made is, okay, where is the executive director? We're going to close the museum except for Tuesdays, that would be, anyway, if we have a general, we did that to ourselves, forgetting the legal or audit part, what do we want them to do? And, we want them to get in fundraising, to advice to community outreach, encouraging memberships, and charities, nonprofits, just 10, 15 things, that's what we want them to do. And specifically, they're authorized to A, be 1107, and B, and directed to appoint a, board nominee, and encouraged to do the following however you want. So you could have a whole page of things, and it will be accurate, but when you say anything, they didn't do anything. Well, that's somebody that's alert will say anything. So anyway, I might be over picky, but I wouldn't be comfortable with it.
Can we eliminate that and still? Okay.
No, I think we eliminate anything and put in, for example, fundraising or encouraging this and this and this, all the very positive things that we hope and expect him to do belong in there for sure. But we're bearing in mind that they can be created or destroyed on the motion of the board of directors. They have no independent authority to do anything. So, but we don't want to give them independent authority. You can delegate it. Authority is not the responsibility. And you say you can do anything else that's not illegal. But so they can say, well, we're going to fire the new director. Doesn't say we can't because it's not illegal. I'm exaggerating slightly, but. Well, the more the better as far as what we expect the chapter boards to do, because if that's what I'm hearing, the point of the auditor is what's expected or what are they supposed to do, giving them specifics, and like I just mentioned, and I'm sure there's a lot more, is a plus. In my opinion, it's what they want. I don't think they want to hear the boards can do anything that's not illegal, and they must do A and B if they're very a theory basis. How does that work?
Well, you can sort through that when you guys work on the policy. But I understand you're saying, and I probably agree more with what Richard says than put any limitations at all in there. Okay, policy type. Richard, I'm going to use yours as a guideline here, okay? The governance policy, the filing of board positions. I agree with you that the president and such other board members be, as he may select, in your wording on policy type. Would anybody disagree with that?
Well, I don't know where you're reading now.
Do you have a copy of Leonard's
comments? Leonard's piece of my comment. Leonard's comment. Yeah, I do. Policy type, okay.
That's on the filling of positions, item 6.
Well, I have from Leonard, it says it's a spelling correction. Item 2C members should be members. I don't know. That's not what you mean, I guess. You don't mean the item, not sure which. I don't know which documents you're in. You're talking about the big one he wrote, what is either the first study, or which one are we talking about?
I'm talking about the second item on Leonard's comments, the policy type, governance boards, title, building board positions, item 6.
I'm looking at Lynn's memo here. It says policy type, governance, building board positions. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Underlined. Okay. I don't have a number on me.
On page seven of the document, item 6 reads, the representation of AHS in meetings with the governor's office regarding board appointments should be the responsibility of the AHS president and or the AHS vice president.
Oh, that one. Okay. See,
my only question about that. Okay. I said is, does it mean that the representation in such meetings is restricted to the AHS president and or vice president, or simply that they determine who should be involved? And therefore, I suggested that perhaps what we should do is add the language that says the president and such other board members as, and it should be he or she may select.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
Okay, let's move on to policy. Linda, do you agree?
Sure.
Okay, let's move on to policy type, board management delegation policy.
And that was that's just wordsmithing. Item 1 in the second line, they use the word officer is used, but they're using it in a plural context, so it should be officers.
Okay.
And I felt that the word rare was unnecessary and should be removed.
Anybody disagree?
Nope.
Okay, policy type, the bottom thing on the first page there, a board member delegation. Board member or members should be member or members.
And again, it's just wordsmithing.
I agree. Does anybody disagree with that?
Nope.
Okay. On the next item, he has Power of Arizona History under Publications, item 3.
Now, the first item is wordsmithing. The words expanding and expanded are used twice in the same sentence. So it's confusing.
You got it. You agree.
And the other one was, and I know what they meant when they wrote this, which is I think that they wanted to say that AHS meets the needs of typical Arizonans. It's not just an exclusive club. But I typically try to stay away from using the word average and referring to any group, including Arizonans, because obviously we serve people who are average, above average, below average, outside the average. So I think we should just drop the word and say AHS serves all Arizonans.
I agree with that. Everybody else agree?
Yep.
Okay, Leonard, did you have anything else you wanted to raise in this?
No. Most of, you know, any concerns I might have would really be in the area where Richard has done some major analysis, and that is making sure that we all understand the chapter roles. You know, everything else is to me, pretty straightforward.
Right. Okay, Richard, let's look at your memorandum. Do you have anything, you know, a lot of the things in there I agree with. Did you have anything else you want to add to it, or did you, there's a Leonard or Linus that you disagree with?
No, there's nothing. You know, I wrote it because some of these things get a little difficult to discuss over, you know, a teleconference, so I just wrote them out, and they're relatively self-explanatory. Some of it, and I didn't even get into the detail that Glenn did as far as style, like, I don't, you know, in terms of strategic planning or policy or job description, I'm not used to seeing, you know, and the director of X, he'll not do this, he'll not do that, may not, will not, can not, all these negative covenants is kind of an awkward, and there's several different places that the executive directors, you know, will not commit a crime, will not do this, will not. That's, I didn't even go into that, but it's not the smoothest flowing, and then this, you know, this kind of, obviously a conference call is not the time to go through specific edits, but I think Glenn and everybody else can see, you know, I like the idea that the four kinds of ends and means, you know, but if you decide, you know, your whole strategic plan is ends, and I already said it, I won't say it again, but it just takes a fit, almost down through some of the stuff, some of it's just like style. You know, you can have a style of rather personnel policy once, you know, it's for a sophisticated organization that says, you know, there's no swearing, cussing, fighting, arguing in public, you know, because they just captured it off of a road gate policy or something. So it's, anyway,
I think John addressed some of that pretty well in his memorandum. But one thing I wanted to ask,
I didn't see John, so I don't have anything from him.
It's well done and easy to enter. You'll enjoy a lot of it. Officers of the society, members of the board, Article 7, Section 1, and you say that you want to change it. Isn't that already contained in bylaws?
That's the whole point. The bylaws don't say that. It doesn't matter what the bylaws say if the statute's not consistent with it. So we had this years ago. I can even remember talking to Carolyn about it. Because it says the members will elect the president of the society. Now there isn't. We've always gone to with the idea that whoever the board elects as president of the board is president of the society. It doesn't actually say that. And that one little wordsmith change, it says the president of the Arizona Sports Society shall be a member of the board of directors. Just clears it up because the statute does say elected in the manner as prescribed by the bylaws. So the office, the statute does authorize the bylaws to do that. The bylaws don't say that.
Doesn't it say in Article 4, Section 6 of the bylaws that membership status for officers shall be members of the board?
No. It says members of the board must be members of the society, and I have it here in my file here somewhere. I'm supposed to read it.
Privilege of holding office shall be open to any board candidate.
Well, it doesn't say board. Well, the privilege of holding an office, the office, will be open to any board member, but it doesn't say it's not open to any member of the society either. I think that it's an ambiguity that we looked at when we had times, you know, for the insurrection out there. We had somebody said, well, it says you can nominate from the floor the president of the society, and I nominate Billy Bob. And and we never had to deal with it, but when, at times when there's been some unhappy, I'm just trying to see if
I respect the privilege of holding office shall be open to any board member. It doesn't say any member of the society.
Yeah, but it doesn't say not open to any member of the society either. And I'm trying to find it. What paragraph is that? Article.
The
switch? Hello?
Yeah,
I'm here.
The election and trying to hold my phone and kind of take this here. What section is that? Because they have it marked and I'm not. What are you looking at there?
What am I looking at? I'm looking at Article 4, Section 6.
Okay, Article 4. Okay. Well, it says membership status for officers. Privilege of holding office should be open to any board member. Privilege of holding office. You didn't say what office. And that's the problem in the sense that, you know, the society, and then this goes back to the not-for-profit, the historical thing, officer of what? And if you say, we're not... It doesn't say when electing the president of the board or chairman of the board of directors or the president of the board of directors. It says it's an election of the society. And particularly overly lawyering, but I know it's come up in times past, where it truly is ambiguous if you just...
Okay.
It's a real easy, it's a real easy fix.
Okay, I agree.
But
just clean it up.
But now here I'm trying to. There's another section that talks about the election of members of officers, and now I'm flipping this around here now.
Well, that's at the end of it. It's
let's see what my memo. Okay, yeah, so now the state statute of the society shall have a president elected by the members of the society. That's what the state statute says. However, there's no provision that the officers of the society must be members of the board of directors. That it doesn't say. And so then it says that you could nominate from the floor, and so if you just inserted after Article 7, Section 1, officers of the society shall be members of the board of directors, it just eliminates the question. But it doesn't say that now. So,
I have a question for Richard.
Yeah.
As you entered this particular bullet in your commentary, were you thinking of this as something that either could be or should be reflected in the policy document, or is this a cleanup item that you felt should come before the governance committee as long as we're discussing policy, but maybe independent of the policy document?
Well, I think it's a structural, you know, if you just to visualize some angry people like in times past, is there enough ambiguity in the way it stands now to argue yes or yes? Who would win? Well, Bill knows all how that stuff goes. But, because we have this, we're back to what we talked about before, what is AHS, is agency versus so forth. But the Arizona Historical Society files a nonprofit tax return, and it is the society. And if you're electing the president of the society, it doesn't say you're electing the president of the board of directors or the chairman of the board. It says the society. That's what it says now. And we've always gone on the assumption that the president, among the board members, the president is of the society, the president of the board, is in fact the chairman, the leader. And that's just the way we've done it. And we haven't been challenged. And under the statute, there's just, we do have the right to kind of make some rules under the bylaws, and just add that one three-word interlineation in the bylaws, it takes care of it. And of course, in policy, it never hurts or often helps to kind of restate some of the rules in the policy again, which is, you know, the election shall be on the whatever the annual membership thing, and members make, you know, members can still have a nomination for the floor, except that the nomination has to be a different board member, not Billy Bob, who's attending. And
that's the way I read it now.
Say again?
I read it that it has to be a board member, and I read our bylaws to say that, but I think the bylaws should be cleaned up. Maybe an amendment to the bylaws.
If you were arguing as a lawyer, you'd say, oh, I'm sure it does say that mostly. And the other guy would say, well, mostly it doesn't say that. And I understand what you're saying, but why leave the door open, even a crack, if all you have to do in Article 7, Section 1, is say officers shall be members of the board of directors, and you're done. Because we don't know who we're electing. It's just the society functions in a little parallel universe as a nonprofit entity still, and it's called the Arizona Talk Society. And then you have this, and you have election of, so which are you, the president of the board doesn't say this, it's president of society. So we don't want to beat this to death, but we did go around maybe 5-10 years ago or something on, and we didn't do anything, and it's just a real politics, but.
Let's clean it up. I agree with you. Let's get it cleaned up so that it's not ambiguous.
Yeah, it's just so simple. It's one thing if we have to, like, the other problem of the 15-county designation, that's something that's got to take state statute and change. But this thing here we can do, and we might as well just do it, put those three words in there. So we've already written, so.
All right. I think you did not have John Lacey's comments, right?
I don't have
them. I didn't,
you know, I'm off the kind of the a mile or two past the end of the telegraph line here because I wasn't at the board meeting. I didn't know about this telephone conference until yesterday, so that must have been decided at the board meeting or something. So anyway, I didn't get the other stuff too. So
I think I just decided that we should move it.
Well, maybe you just decided. Well, that's okay too.
But you'll have the benefits of the comments, John Lacey. Do you have anything you want to add to them, Leonard, or anything you want to say about it? Or Linda?
I have another question for Richard. Richard, if you go to page 8 of the policy document, which is
my policy document I downloaded has no page numbers at all, but I can turn the page and find it.
If you go to the policy type governance process, policy title, election of officers, even if you have an unpaged document, it should be somewhere in the 6 to 8 pages in range. It's where the policy begins with, although the governor appoints the members of the board, the AHS members attending the annual meeting elect the board's officers. And then there are 9 points underneath that paragraph.
You know what?
Beginning with point number 1, prior to the annual meeting, all board members.
Oh, here we go. Okay, election. Okay, I got it here. Election officers. All right. Okay.
Here's my question to you. If you go to point number 3, all of the names of the candidates will be placed on the slate. Nominations may be made from the floor. If the nomination is seconded, the individual then becomes a candidate. For purposes of the policy, and I'm not referring to the bylaws here right now. We're amending the bylaws.
Yeah.
Just this policy. Is this as simple as rephrasing this to read, all of the names of the candidates will be placed on the slate. Nominations may also be made from the floor. Nominees must be current members of the Arizona Historical Society Board of Directors. If the nominee is seconded, the individual then becomes a candidate?
Well, you could put a comma after mates on the floor who must be, that's a wordsmithing or, you know, grammar thing. Yes, that just is reconciles the bylaw change if it's made. And of course up here it says, incorrectly, the board of, although the governor appoints members of board, AHS members pending the elected board's officers. Well, in effect, yes, but it doesn't say that anywhere in the bylaws or the statute. So it says the officers of Arizona Historic Society, and that's not necessarily the same as, well, it definitely is not the same as the society in general terms. So, but you're right. That would fix that. And it's a good example where if you can't have a policy that adds something to the state statute or the bylaws, it's not there. But you can certainly cite it and reference it and explain it when it is there, and that's a perfect example of that.
So we could add a few words to point number three here in policy as a governance committee and potentially recommend to the board that the bylaws be changed to be consistent with the policy amendment.
Yeah.
Or the policy
change. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I got you.
And then the language at the top, which says the governor appoints and the members standing and the meeting elect the board's officers, it doesn't say that. And so we can reconcile that little syntactical error because it says officers of the historical society, and it's two things. The board is a historical society, so we're electing we can just explain it slightly further. The president of the historic society will be also president of the board of directors if you want to take it another step.
Wait,
I was just stopping.
I don't understand what your theory comes from. You're saying that's two different organizations, the board and the society?
Well, yeah. I mean, you have Hewlett Packard and then you have the board of directors of Hewlett Packard. That's two things, not one thing. And you have the Arizona Historical Society, and in this case, almost three things, but then you have it's declared to be a state agency, and then you have the board. So when you have an election of board officers, it says chairman of the board is going to be, you know, Bill Garbarino. Let's say the chairman of Historical Society, chairman of the Humanitarian says the board. And it isn't say that you're president of the Historical Society, which is a separate, arguably, a separate entity, and we treat it at least for tax reasons, they're separate. So,
I'm not sure I understand that. I think the president of the board is the president of the Historical Society.
Well, we have treated it that way since we were co-opted to become, you know, something else. But it doesn't say that. And if you just say the president of the Historical Society shall be a member of the board, it does say that all of a sudden. We imply that, but if you were just coming to a meeting with 50 people there and want to create some havoc, it doesn't say that the president of the Historical must be a member of the board. It doesn't say that. And so I'm at the floor with my 50 guys, and I say, well, okay, the president is Billy Bob, and what he gets to do as president is a whole different issue, and, you know, bragging rights maybe. It doesn't make him a member of the board of directors for sure. But, nonetheless, it's just two things here. And I don't know if I'm off in left field here or something, but it's a meeting of the members of the Historic Society, and they elect a member of the president of the Historical Society, of which they are a member. They are not a member of the board of directors. They're a member of the Historical Society, so they elect the president. And it's you know.
Okay.
It's just something that's come up, and years ago we didn't do anything about, but it is a genuine ambiguity of some degree, out of whatever degree you want to make.
Well, I think the ambiguity, I can't see it, but I think we need to clean it up and make it so that everybody sees it the same.
Even if you don't see the ambiguity, if you put in the word, the president of the Historical Society must be a member of the board of directors, it certainly doesn't create more ambiguity. It eliminates whatever there is 100%.
Okay.
Instead of saying the president of the board can be anybody sitting in the audience.
President, now, that's the issue that I think Richard is focused on, and while it seems remote, one never knows down the road whether or not a band of activist members of the society might decide that the board is not fully representative of the membership and might decide that, gee, somebody from Polden, Arizona, who happens to be a member of the society but isn't on the board and possibly not even active in a in chapter board, ought to be president of the organization, and by golly, we're going to put her name or his name in nomination from the floor at the annual
meeting. And the point is that would it be a fatal thing? No, because the action item that could happen, and we were afraid once upon a time it would, is that Billy Bob's now president of the Folk Society. He's not on a board, obviously, because he wasn't appointed or elected or anything. And so now the board says, well, the guy that's the president or the chairman of the board doesn't have that title because Billy has it. So what we're going to do is we're going to say the position that we're going to elect is the president of the board of directors or the chairman of the board of directors as a specific. And then you kind of have to turn the wheel back and cause a lot of, you know, aggravation, but nothing, you know, heart-stopping. But why...
The only time I can see that where that would have been a problem would have been if, say, the Mining and Mineral Museum president, who was also a member of the Arizona Historic Society, if they had placed his name in the hopper or nominated him at a meeting.
You know, that's a good example. He gets the bragging rights to say, I am the president of the society, and here's what I think, and well, that's all he can do. He can vote. He can vote on the board. But who knows if there'll be another mine and mineral in 3, 5, 10 years kind of event. So.
I agree with where you're going, and I think I understand what you're saying.
There's also another way to rationalize this, and that is that all of the board members are appointed by the governor. If we do not restrict nominations from the floor to individuals who are on the board, we then have opened the door to the general public, or really the general membership, to nominate and perhaps elect someone who is not a governor appointee.
Yeah, but he can't get on the board because it doesn't say that the president shall be on the board. However, there is a lot of bragging rights and a lot of sort of mischief that could be created, you know. And another way that's clarified is you have an organization, you can have a president of an organization who may not be on the board at all, but he's the president of the organization and he reports to the board.
I understand.
Things. Yeah, okay. I don't want to beat it to death. But anyway, so all of those scenarios, it's like saying if you're going to take a 10-round magazine in your gun and pull it 10 times, there's only a 10% chance to die. Well, that's not too bad odds, you know. I mean, it's not necessary, you know.
I understand what you're telling me, Richard. And I think you're right. We need to clean that up. And you can do that.
And it's simple. The good news is it's simple. That other thing of all the counties is not simple, and it can't be done until we... But my point earlier is let's not make it worse by telling things about it that's not true. And to shove it back in the corner until we can get to the legislature and fix it. Because we're by no means in compliance with the statute now, so...
Well, Leonard, did you have anything you wanted to add to your comments that you made that we went over?
No.
Okay, and Richard, I've read your comments. Do you have anything you want to add to them?
No, except for you said that you're going to send me John stuff, and the only other general thing is to really have these clean and polished-looking in my opinion, it's almost like a kind of a working session or something, you know. But it, John may have done a whole bunch of stuff I haven't seen, so. And the rest of my stuff is more like looking, I don't know how, I don't want to say much because I don't know who wrote it, so I can't be too, it's not a, you know, I tried to hire somebody last year who had a PhD in public history in English and was working for the state auditor of all people. And, I wanted her to write things for a bankruptcy trustee job I have. And, she was interested in, we got talking. She said, well, you know, I have an absolutely strict instruction that nothing that's published by the auditor general is written in language beyond the seventh grade level. So, they said I have to work a little bit to write down, dumb it down, and we had a little chuckle over that. I didn't get too busy to hire, but so my point isn't that this is overly dumbed down, it's that it's just not well crafted. And I don't know if we're, one of the things that's required, or, you know, I don't know what is our policy or in the posture that you're supposed to have a, you know, strategic plan and how the, and I don't want to beat this to death because we're coming to the end here, but the strategic plan and the end, and end is, and I'm not a great grammarian, it's sort of a adjective or whatever of the prod, the end result is how you get there through a vehicle of a strategic plan that has goals, directives, steps, actions to the ends. And I made that comment in my things too, so I, you know, you can't call it the ends plan. Or the AHS ends, quote, ends plan. Anyway, I don't want to beat that up, but so I just wait to see John's stuff.
Linda, did you get John's stuff?
No, I did not.
I sent it to you too. And Linda, did you get it?
No, I did not.
All right, I'll send you John's materials. They're very good. All the comments have been very good.
Hey, I have a general question. I looked online to see if we had our board bylaws posted, and we don't. And that may be one of the first places the auditors will look in terms of board materials. Other nonprofits, other cultural groups, you know, have those posted, and I'm wondering if this committee would consider posting whatever end product they have.
You know, I think you're absolutely right. I didn't know it wasn't posted online. I've had a lot of copies of it, but I'll have James post our bylaws online somewhere. Everybody should have access to them.
Yeah, I think that would be very helpful because the newer members to the board, we don't have a copy. We never got any kind of a copy, and we are under the impression that somehow the board manual was under construction, maybe due to you know, changes in the bylaws and so forth, but we need at least some version of this posted until this next iteration is done.
Well, you raised another point. There is no board manual. I thought there was.
That's
part of what this is. One part says policy and it says governance. This that's one piece. You know, there's the, for example, the collections policy is a policy, and museum operations and hours and all those are policies that we're not even addressing. This, and I was thinking about that, and I just keep back to, so I think this is like a one piece of the policy called governance. So that all the rest of the policy, and John and I have over years put left, and I gave my whole download of policies not related to governance to Burns, and he was processing it through, and so this is not, we have no policy manual.
I thought in prior years they had a policy manual they gave out to the new board.
Nope. We had a few pieces of policy, ad hoc policy that were tossed in, and we had the bylaws in the board, new board member manual. but we've never had, in my 15 years, I've never seen a policy manual, and that was one of the goals of this government's discussion of whenever, last year or two, to create one, and I initiated what I had in the way of a draft policy manual and gave it to Burns, and he then was going to work through that with current and new stuff and help.
And I'm under the impression that he is working on it, and I think they're supposed to be, and that was a while ago, but I can tell you the Sunset Reviewers certainly asked about a policy manual, I think that's a very big task that has to be done. This material has to be aggregated and reviewed, signed off on, and that kind of thing. And so I think
one of the things, we had one, for example, like we had no policy what the logo is, and then we discovered it hadn't been trademarked, and we went through a whole thing, and now, we've adopted the copper Alchemy Center and so forth. That's just a tiny little example, but in the process of doing that, you see some holes, in the system, and that's a one-time thing. The collection is probably a little more dynamic, and then you have highlights of personnel things, most of which is controlled by, ADOA, but you can highlight a few things for reference. You can't drive company cars and last for minor things. But policy is where you should be able to turn anybody, director or employee, say, what's our policy on serving food? Well, we know what the state statute requires, so that is a policy, but how many people go in there and try to find the statute?
Not many, and I think you're right. I think part of the issue is this manual could be a unifying tool, both for employees and for board members, old and new. And I think it's a significant a product that we need to produce.
Yeah, well, we've been saying that for years, and it's it is so true, and it's so obvious, and it's so missing. That's 100% correct.
Okay, let's put, James is really, or Dr. Burns is really good at following through with things like this. I'll put a bug in his ear and Boy's ear and say, hey, we need these things. And Linda, I think you're absolutely right. We need a manual to unify ourselves. And I'll get on that.
Part of it is what this little thing here of ends and means and process and governance and kind of that little sketchy outline is more of a subject. A subject area focus than the policy, obviously. So I offered two as well. I would help him with stuff that I have, but articulating the policy in one place, even though you're repeating a few things from the bylaws or the state statute, it's all there in one place. Versus, well, go look it up. It's just kind of clumsy.
Don't you think James ought to be a part? He's probably the one person.
Well, of course. I gave him everything I had, and he said, it's great. This is a great start, and I'm going to do it for a different call, and we left it at that.
I'll follow up on that one. One last thought. You don't have John stuff, so I'll email it to you. Or what do you call it? Yeah, email it to you. We're not going to get enough done to get it before the board before the first of the year. But we'd like to have three people, or four. I think four to go over our max. John, because he has historical perspective, and you, Leonard, because you've been dealing with it for so long. And Linda, catch you out of the circle. Do you want to be a part of this?
Yes, I think a lot of work has already been done by James, and this has come up in the past regarding our Sunset meetings, and it will come up again. And I think once we have a draft of what he's done, it may very well help determine what's left. What else should we be adding to this thing?
All right. And Richard, I'd like you to be a part of this because you have a perspective. But that puts me at four people, and that's more than a quorum, and it can't be a work group. So I would ask you to do this. I would ask the three of you to run the work group, to pick up on somebody that would run the work group. I don't know how you're going to deal with the four people. I'll leave that to you.
Well, you can just call the one of the persons, me or whoever, as an ad hoc non-voting member, and that's how you do it.
Great.
And that's how it would be, Richard, wouldn't it? I mean, it's an actual fact. That's how this
well, everybody has comes and talks, and if one guy doesn't vote, it has no... The substance of the process is the same, but it's technically three, not four, or four, not five, whatever the number is. So I
got two lawyers.
There's no glory in being the member or the ad hoc person, so... Whatever.
Okay. Two lawyers on here, so they ought to be able to figure out how to deal with your three and all the two's work. But I would ask the four of you to get together, take what we have as the governance policy in this rough form, and get ready by, say, I don't know, we have to have it 10 days before the meeting in order for the board to adopt.
No, I think it's actually only 24 hours. I mean, for bylaws approval.
Back in the bylaws today, and I'll read it to you, is that you have to have 10 days for policy consideration to be adopted. Let me find that for you.
Okay. So I believe you on that. I think we have a lot of material, even in draft form, that we could at least begin to aggregate this stuff together and, and have something to work with. I think we have enough.
I'm trying to find out about...
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure it's 10 days. I've looked.
Okay. That's
well, I got it here. You mean as far as the notice for bylaw change?
Because
the bylaws...
The bylaws provide for 10 days notice before you submit it to the board for approval. Each board member has to give it 10 days prior to the meeting to do it. Isn't it
here? Trust me, I've read these things about 25 times. The meeting of the board. The board of directors amends the bylaws, not the members. So, provided. Now, this says mine says 30 days.
The bylaws take 30 days. Policy takes 10 days.
Well, the bylaws control, though, so.
I don't know. It's in the bylaws. Yes, and but in here, someplace else it says 10 days to amend policy, to a policy consideration.
Oh, well, the to amend policy, that's not the same thing. To amend the bylaws is 30 days.
Okay.
But it's not a membership thing, it's a board thing, so.
Okay, but this is a policy, so we need to have it to the board 10 days prior to the meeting. I'm not talking about
for the policy, but the policy can't drive the... Can't say we can amend the bylaws in 10 days when the bylaws themselves say 30. That's some...
No.
You can go upstream.
I'm saying, Rick, the long thing is we're going to look at this policy and adopt the policy, then we have to have to put 10 days prior to the... They have to have 10 days notice prior to the meeting. And it's in here in the bylaws. You can give me a second here, I'll find it.
I don't think we have a policy amendment in the bylaws, but... We do have a bylaw amendment in the bylaws. Well, we can change it to whatever. That's the other part. It's 30 days is too long. You make a, after 30-day notice, you can say it's now 10 days if you have that notice. So at least it's not the members themselves at the annual meeting. It's the board members themselves that change it. So.
Okay, but I'd ask that you get it done 10 days prior to the next... Have something 10 days prior to our next meeting of the board of directors.
And there is, by the way, as you can see if you're reading it, there's a procedure for amending the bylaws by the general membership, which is historically never done, but it says that 5% of the membership propose it and notify executive every 60 days. That almost, I could argue both ways, I guess, should be in there being not in there, but for now it doesn't matter. But it is in there, so the members actually themselves can.
Article 8, Section 1 says, an enactment of policies in order to perform the duties, so on and so forth. Such policies have been mailed to the members of the Board of Directors no less than 10 days prior to the meeting date. So we have to do it 10 days prior to the meeting date. But we can enact them after that.
Yeah. Is that in the bylaws or in the policy?
It's in the bylaws, Article 8, Section 1.
Okay, let's see.
We have to have that 10 days. So depending on when the meeting is in January, we have to have it there 10 days to do.
Yeah.
Is that it, Richard?
Okay. Yeah, and one of the things is, you know, it's interesting is that it may adopt policies. And really, some future time it should be will or shall, you know, because that's something we just should do. So, but that's all the action can go into the policy and say we shall. We're enabled by the bylaws, and now we're going to say we're, because I think as we've all agreed that the operating, you know, it's like an operating manual. That's what the policies are for. How do things work? Well, you know, in one place, not looking all over. So.
All right. Do you think that...
Anyway.
Get together with Leonard, Linda, and Richard, get together and elect somebody to run this committee, this work group. And I'll send everything that I have to you from John. It's very good. And I think all your comments are very good. And maybe we can put together something for the board at the next board meeting after the November meeting, so it'll be in January. As far as the report from the board at the November 17th meeting, did you want to put that in writing, or do you just want to let that slide for this meeting?
Who you addressing?
Leonard.
Oh, Leonard? Okay.
I'm sorry, would you repeat that?
Did you have something you want to put in writing for this upcoming November 17th board meeting about the audit?
Not for purposes of these minutes. I think what I said earlier about the fact that Linda and I are going to meet subsequent to this meeting, and also that we'll be doing an update meeting with Dr. Burns is sufficient.
Is this something
you think, Linda?
Pardon me?
What do you think, Linda?
I agree. We went over this before. We have nothing different to report at this time. Whatever we have would be maybe minimal, but we haven't communicated at all with James Burns since our last joint meeting. And he's working on a number of fronts, so he may have some additional information. But we don't have that information right now.
Okay, then I can assume that we probably don't have any report at the November 17th meeting. Why don't we just let us at this meeting? I'll put in a note to James and to Roy Coy that there won't be anything from the Governance Committee at the next meeting.
That may not be the case, but we won't know until we sit down with Dr. Burns and do an update.
And if we do have something, I suspect, Lynn, it would be a fairly brief, you know, pay attention to item this, item that. There has been, you know, progress made, blah, blah, blah. It could be that simple.
Yeah, it could be that really fine. That's fine. Do you want me to include this as a part of the report of the Governance Committee? Or do you want to submit it directly?
We can submit it to you. No problem.
Well, either way you want to do it, it's fine with me. Just submit it to me and I'll send it to you.
Now let us see when Dr. Burns is available for an update, because that will govern how many days in advance of the board meeting we'll have information from Dr. Burns.
Sounds good. And I would ask the three of you to get together and pick out a head of the board. Is there anything else we need to do?
I think so.
For me, this has been a very confusing meeting. I hope it's not going to be much further on than I was. But I think there were a lot of good comments made by everyone. I think that I'm sure you'll look more select ones that you think are appropriate, ones that aren't appropriate, and go from there. But I think I think this policy is much needed. And I agree with Linda when she said, you know, we need a manual. And I think that's something we need to urge having them.
I met with Tim Burns, and he specifically agreed, and it's underway. But your comment that you'll see where he is, where stands, or if he needs help, I think is obviously appropriate. But he agreed, right? He agreed completely that it's needed as well. So we're on the same wavelength.
You know, the problem is here, he doesn't have a secretary. I mean, he's trying to wing this by himself. I think that. I think that's commendable. But, my God, that's going to be a hard job for him to carry on very much further.
Well, how I left it with him is, what I gave him, I said, if some of these are just outdated or replaced, throw those away, and then assemble what is currently the existing policy based on ad hoc letters and approvals. And we now we can start assembling that and then go to the next step of what is not written but should be. We don't see anything about these 10 things, and we can write that. So if he's the most close on the way things actually are working, whether they're expressed in the form of a policy or not, and everything should be expressed. But he's, in his mind, you know, he can say, well, here's the way we do this. Well, the next guy that walks in says, how do you do this? I don't know. I don't remember what Jim said. You know, that's the whole point of the policy. And so I don't think it'll be as bad if it's a team effort as him having to do it all, and he shouldn't.
I agree with you. One of the things I don't want to see happen is, you know, people put a lot of work into things, and they just sit there sometimes and go, no. And I don't want to see that happen this governance problem. I've been waiting boy for a long time, but I don't think they have any druthers one way or the other about things. They just think there ought to be a policy, sort of a management type policy, and that's what they want to do. That's how we should do it.
Well, maybe we just need to reframe the descriptor as the operating manual, because that's what it is. It's okay, you open a box of a new widget and you say, how do I do this? And say, first thing is do this. You know, that really was it.
You put your thumb right on it, because that is really what Sunset Reviewers are looking for with the operating manual, which may refer to in terms of their own processes. So I think operating manual is a perfect title and would suit us just fine.
And see, we can download, for example, not verbatim, but the major ADOA policies or statutes or regulations into this without just trying to, just without trying to Xerox everything, so that they don't have to say, well, how do I go to an ADOA regulation site? You know, it's crazy.
All you have to do is insert the link. It's all online.
Correct. Well, but it still should be in the book in summary form.
Yeah.
Like open meeting law, for example, should be in the policy. And I read off one of our other meetings a summary that the PD's office or somebody had done. It was only 3 pages of the basics. Maybe it's out of date. But the point is that I would have the open meeting law. Our policy, of course, is actually what the state is. But nobody wants to go out to the AG file and look under their robe, So, in a way, it's a volume of work, but it's not like writing a history or something that takes 2 years with 150 footnotes. So, anyway, but it is important, so I think we're agreed.
One of the last things I want to bring up is we had a problem with up here. With Jane, or the executive director, went to the attorney general's office and got a legal opinion. And from my perspective, I don't think it contained all of the facts that should be set forth.
Oh, okay.
And I think that, you know, although I think we should be able to go, get a legal opinion, I think you should go through the executive committee of the board, and they should discuss it, what facts go into that the request for a legal opinion.
He has to have the ability to do that.
But I think and I think it's based upon a slanted set of facts. And I don't think I have the authority, one, to go in and ask them to change it. I don't know. But, I mean, I'm talking about flag staff now. And our,
oh, no,
our,
but it's the same issue. It's the same. You and I have talked about this a lot. You don't go in and ask for an opinion and wait. You write the opinion first, and then you have them review it, to agree or not agree. But if you just say, give me an opinion about this, A, they'll give you no opinion, or B, it won't be one. Because they just don't, it's not the way it works. So consequently, a policy on that, as either a piece, subsection of another, would be, he can call our liaison anytime and say, supposing we want to change the operating hours, can we do that? Or, you know, some informal chit-chat. But a written opinion should be a board of directors matter for sure, because he's typically not going to be a lawyer, or if he is, he doesn't control how this works.
Could it be just the executive committee? I hate to
put it. Well, yeah, of course. But the executive committee is the board. It's just acting as the agent of the board in that case. But the point is, it's a board function and not the executive director asking for a written legal opinion that could, depending on the facts submitted, could tie us adversely. And then, of course, you say, well, here you have this, need your opinion, you can't do it. You know, well, I could go on and on. But we're saying the same thing in a different way. So absolutely, that is, they don't do, or only the board can do this. You don't have to state it in negative covenants. And other than formal, discussion, you can't say you can never call a idea for a question. That's
no, I agree with that.
But no written opinions
without the next committee having input. I agree with that. I think it was all done in good faith. I think it was all done.
No, I agree.
But I think it was done before. And I think we somehow we have to go back and get that thing squared away. But I don't.
Well, I think we can. We can just ask for it to be reviewed. Or it's like a motion, Josh, you've been through this, motion for reconsideration, where the input was not perhaps as complete as it should be in this. So, of course you can ask for another one. And it wasn't, I don't think it was a cow dog.
Can we do it as a governance committee?
You can, I don't know what the scope of authority of governance is, but as opposed to the board, but if it's, you want to make sure there's no start an argument, I guess. So, I would say if it just was stated that we want to have that reviewed and the governance is going to add the facts to be reconsidered, that's probably all you need to do. Or even informally just tell the board that, I would say. So if somebody doesn't say, oh, well, you're squashing the executive director, the politics. So.
I do. I'll work on that one for the November 17th meeting. Did anybody else have anything they wanted to add to this meeting? God, there must be a million things you're thinking about. I'm sure.
Well, there probably are. But the more you come up, the more things that branches off to cover the last thing you discussed. So I think we wait for John's stuff, and then we can start rebuilding from there.
Well, I wish you guys the best.
Okay, well, I'll
pick on the meeting
on the 17th, I guess, yeah.
I'll see you on the 17th, and I'll send in some little report to the board. Later, when you get your stuff together, send it to me, and I'll put it in there. I thought all the comments were good. I really did. Anything further from anybody?
Nope.
That was just this meeting.
Okay.
Thank you,
Linda. Thank you, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.